We come to the portion of the worship service for the hearing of God's word. Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Through open ears, may we hear the word of God read and proclaimed. Through our open minds, may we understand and grow in faith. And through our open hearts, may we feel the love of God and grow in love for God and our neighbors. Amen. The first reading is taken from the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verses 1 and 2 introduce the scene, and 9 through 18 give the content. I am reading the Message translation by Peterson. God spoke to Moses, "Speak to the congregation of Israel, tell them, be holy, because I, God, your God, am holy." When you harvest your land, don't harvest right up to the edges of your field or gather the gleanings from the harvest. Don't strip your vineyard bare or go back and pick up the fallen grapes. Leave them for the poor and the foreigner. I am God, your God. Don't steal. Don't lie. Don't deceive anyone. Don't swear falsely using my name, violating the name of your God. I am God. Don't exploit your friend or rob him. Don't hold back the wages of a hired hand overnight. Don't curse the deaf. Don't put a stumbling block in front of the blind. Fear your God. I am God. Don't pervert justice. Don't show favoritism to either the poor or the great. Judge on the basis of what is right. Don't spread gossip and rumors. Don't just stand by when your neighbor's life is in danger. I am God. Don't secretly hate your neighbor. If you have something against him, get it out into the open. Otherwise, you're an accomplice in his guilt. Don't seek revenge or carry a grudge against any of your people. Love your neighbor as yourself. I am God. Keep my decrees. Don't mate two different kinds of animals. Don't plant your fields with two kinds of seed. Don't wear clothes woven of two kinds of material. This is the word of the Lord. The hymn that goes with the scriptural readings is, as we mentioned earlier in the service, Kumbaya, found on page 338 in the large blue hymnal. Thank you.
Our gospel reading today is from the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 38 to 48. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do this? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It isn't often that you get a chance to preach on the book of Leviticus, unless you just choose to. It only comes up one time in each 3-year cycle of the lectionary, and today is it. Fortunately, it's one of the, what I think are more understandable passages. In a lot of ways, it echoes the Ten Commandments, or it's a restating and an elaboration maybe of the Ten Commandments. And Jim read from the Message version, but our NRSV is not all that much different. You know, it says, do not steal, do not lie, love the Lord, don't try to trip up the blind people, don't make fun of people who are deaf, don't deal falsely, don't defraud people, don't render an unjust judgment, don't be partial to the poor or the rich. Don't be a slanderer. Don't hate in your heart anyone of your kin. Don't take vengeance or bear a grudge, but love your neighbor as yourself. Very much like the Ten Commandments. And then Jesus comes along and he says, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. Somehow the words of Jesus are not as easy to take as the words from Leviticus, which is a surprise because, again, it's Leviticus. If you've ever read Leviticus, you know that it's the book of the law. It comes from the Levites, who were in the 12 tribes of Israel. They were the tribe that were the priestly class. They were the tribe that was in charge of the religion. And that's why Leviticus is full of laws. But somehow today, the Leviticus passage is easier for us to hear because it's things that we already do. It's things that it makes sense to us that you don't steal and you don't lie. And you don't put a stumbling block in front of a blind person. And you don't make fun of someone who's deaf. Those things make sense to us. either because we've heard them for so long or because they're easy if we're decent people. And I think we are. It's easy, mostly. But what Jesus has to say to us here at the end of the Sermon on the Mount is harder to hear. And if you remember, we started out with things that were maybe a little hard to understand. You know, blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek, blessed are you when you are spit on and reviled because of my name. Those things are a little harder to understand, but we can see those as Jesus is standing up for those who are oppressed. And then there was the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. Don't hide your light under a bushel basket. But today Jesus says, you've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say to you, do not resist an evil doer. If anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to anyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. Those are hard words. Those are hard words to understand. I'm not supposed to resist an evildoer. I'm supposed to let someone slap me in the face and then turn so that they can slap me again. I'm supposed to not oppose a suit against me. I'm supposed to just give over, settle for more than they're asking. I'm supposed to do more than I'm asked to do. I'm supposed to give to anyone who begs. And I'm not supposed to refuse if someone wants to borrow. These are my things. This is my life. How can I obey these things? This week, during choir, a man came to the church who has been here before asking for money. And we've helped him and his wife. We've helped him again. But it makes everyone uncomfortable because the prevailing opinion is that when you give to people, it only encourages them to ask for more, sort of like putting out milk for the neighborhood cat. And yet this is not a neighborhood cat, this is a human being. So what do we do? Does Jesus mean this? Every time somebody comes to our door, are we supposed to give them what they ask for? It's hard. It's hard to think that the answer to that is yes. And then let's go back to Leviticus for a minute, because there is one part of the Leviticus passage that I think maybe fits better with what Jesus is trying to say than with the laws. Because the laws are all about ethical things that we know that we're supposed to do. Again, we don't lie. We don't steal. We love the Lord. We don't use God's name in a bad way, to swear. But it also says, when you reap the harvest of your grain, or you reap the harvest of your grapes, don't go all the way to the edge of your field. Don't pick up every grape that falls on the ground. Leave a little extra for those who are in need. How often do you hear that? How often do you hear, leave a little extra for those who are in need? That's not one of the ones that we think about all that often, I think. Although, you know, I think you all are generous people, and I'm not saying that you're not generous, but this is about more than generosity. This is about ethics. How ethical is it to keep everything that you have? How ethical is it to keep everything that you earn? It's hard. It's hard to hear that. It's hard to hear that we are supposed to leave something behind or aside, not necessarily even behind, but aside for those who, for whatever reason, don't have anything, can't earn anything, can't earn enough. Now, I don't know Shane's story. Shane and Angie are their names. But I do know other people who have struggled. I do know that sometimes even having two jobs in a family is not enough, especially if you have kids. I know that there are corporations in our country who don't leave the gleanings behind, who want to take every bit that they can for their stockholders. And our society, in our society, that's the way it's done. And it's very hard to criticize that. And yet, as Christians, we have a different teaching. We live under a different way. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, you go the extra mile. If anyone begs from you, you give to them. If anyone sues you, you give them more than they ask for. Don't resist an evildoer. In our political climate today, that's hard because there is some resistance needed, I think. But I think what we have to figure out is how do we resist without being argumentative, without being violent, by following what Jesus is having to say here. How do we do that? How do we resist and love at the same time? There is a certain power in not resisting and turning the other cheek. Because a lot of times what someone wants from you is a reaction, right? A lot of times when somebody attacks you in whatever way, what they want is a reaction. And so there is some power in not resisting, in not retaliating. When someone sues you, there is some power in giving to them more than they ask for. If anyone forces you to do something for them that you don't want to do, there is some power in saying, okay, I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do even more. Because you have overridden them. But it's hard. We are much more of the eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And you take care of yourself and I'll take care of myself and we'll all be happy. Jesus doesn't want it to be that way. God doesn't want it to be that way. God wants us all connected. God wants us all loving each other. God wants us all to speak the truth, but in love, not in anger. The last part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, it doesn't get any easier. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, because everybody speaks to the people they like. Everybody has their own little bubble of people that they interact with and that they like. And I don't know if you're on social media, but social media is very bad for this. But everybody is, even outside of social media, is in their little bubble. And so it's very hard to see what the people outside of your bubble are experiencing. That's why things like our meeting a couple of weeks ago, when we invited people from the Pieselberg community to come up, that's why that's so important. Because we have our little bubble that is Community of Faith Presbyterian Church. They have their little bubble that is Pieselberg. To get us together expands our horizons. To get us together helps us to see the other, to know what they experience. We can't walk in somebody else's footsteps if we don't know where their footsteps are or where they're going. Finally, Jesus says, be perfect as your Father is perfect. And that one, really, be perfect. With all the pressure that we have on ourselves these days to actually be perfect, the kind of perfection that society talks about is not the same kind of perfection that Jesus talks about. It isn't the perfection of the way that we look or dress or using the right fork at dinner, but it's the perfection of complete love, of being whole within ourselves, so that we can love others in the way that God loves us, in the way that we love ourselves. Perfection, you know, we tend to say as Reformed Presbyterians that nobody is perfect, and it's true, nobody is perfect. But we tend to emphasize the fact that we are all tainted by original sin and therefore we can never be perfect. But there are other denominations who have taken the idea of perfection and they believe that we can be perfect, but not in the I'm going to do everything right category, but in the sense of being complete. Complete in our faith, complete in our love, complete and whole. And that's hard for broken people to hear, because we are broken. I'm Presbyterian, I can't help it. But that doesn't mean we can't repair ourselves. That doesn't mean that we can't go the extra mile. That doesn't mean that we can't let others glean from our abundance. Leviticus and Jesus, you think they might not go together, but they do. They do. Friends, this isn't something that we understand overnight. This is something, this is the kind of stuff that we have to sit with, that we have to pray about. But I invite you to take Jesus seriously, not just in the things that are easy, but in the things that are hard. As we move toward Lent, as we move toward a season of self-reflection and self-understanding, let us look at these words of Jesus. Let us remember these words of Jesus. And let us figure out how it is that we be people of Jesus in the world, speaking the truth, but loving it as well. Being perfect as our Father is perfect. Amen.